The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. May Jesus Christ be praised both now and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Please be seated. There's a little bit of weird pressure when you preach on a major feast day. You kind of feel like you really gotta nail it. And next week it's even worse, Trinity Sunday. Who can possibly say the right thing or any right thing about the Trinity without just stumbling into heresy? But Pentecost is a little bit easier. It's sort of like a major feast light, because most of us in the Episcopal Church, and I'm still new here, but I'm going to venture to guess, most of us in this room don't really know what to think about the Holy Spirit. And so in some ways, I could just say whatever. And you'd be like, okay, great, sounds like the Holy Spirit. But I take this seriously enough that I'm going to try to say something true about the Holy Spirit, which is difficult. It's especially difficult. We're not Pentecostals. We're not people who hang our tradition on this Sunday. We don't feature speaking in tongues in our worship, typically. Though, and this may blow you away a little bit, there are Episcopal churches that do that. I haven't seen it here yet. And so we're not really Pentecost people. People in the Episcopal Church like to say things like, we're resurrection people, or we're incarnation people. I've yet to hear anybody say, we're a Pentecost people. Well, here I go. Let's be Pentecost people, for one day at least. A lot of us are wearing red. So what is this Holy Spirit? What is Jesus talking about? Unfortunately, Jesus isn't really much clearer than I'm being so far. But he offers us this odd phrase about proving the world wrong. This is what the Holy Spirit is coming to do. And he goes on to explain it, and it doesn't really explain anything. As is often the case with Jesus, his explanation just confuses things more. And so here we are, Pentecost, wondering, what is this Holy Spirit? If you remember back at the beginning of this story that John's telling, there was John. It's a different John. There's lots of Johns running around. John, the gospeler, is writing about John the baptizer. And John the baptizer's message is, listen, come on out into the woods, the wilderness. I'm going to baptize you in the Jordan River. It's going to be awesome. But don't fall too in love with this baptism, because someone greater than me is coming, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is like in the overture, the prologue of this book, this story about Jesus. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and he says almost nothing about baptism. He says almost nothing about the Holy Spirit. To the point where, at one point, John from jail writes him a letter and says, listen, are you really the guy? I thought there was going to be a lot more baptism with fire and the Holy Spirit stuff here. But Jesus goes about his ministry. And then he's coming to the end, and he has this moment with the disciples and says, I'm going away. At this point, he's told them that a few times, but they're a little, well, it's easy to rag on the disciples about this, because they don't really understand or hear that Jesus is going away. But it's because they don't want to hear it. And most of us, most of the time, only hear mostly what we want or expect to hear. So I know I wouldn't have done any better. But Jesus reminds them, listen, I'm going away, but I'm going to send an advocate for you. And he describes this sort of holy tag team approach to the Trinity, where Jesus has to go before the Holy Spirit can come. Otherwise, the ref would, you know, have to throw someone out of the ring. It's not too many people. He talks about how the Holy Spirit will come and will fill the whole world, like in our collect this morning. That the whole world can come to know the good news, the gospel. And so I'm going to grab this book, because I'm not from memory. This is another reason why I'm not a Pentecostal. He says, when he comes, it's talking about the advocate. When he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin and righteousness and judgment. And there's, in preparing for my sermon, I made a joke before the service started. I said to someone, was I supposed to write a sermon? Contrary to all evidence, I have prepared my remarks this morning. In reading some commentators on this passage, one of them points out that what Jesus is talking about is basically three questions. Three questions that a lot of the world's religions all aim to answer. What's wrong with the world? What can be right with the world? And who wins? Almost all the world's religions are trying to answer these three questions. Jesus is saying, listen, we've mostly got that wrong. The advocate's going to come. He's going to show you the answer. Now, his explanation of that does not make a whole lot of sense, and so we trust the Holy Spirit to be a little more clear. What's wrong with the world? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the world and you can see that there is brokenness, But there is sorrow, grief, and pain. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. The Holy Spirit teaches us that everything we see around us is not the best it can be. But there is something wrong here. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we can look in the world and see what's wrong in the world and have hope that it can be better, that there can be good things in the world, that's the Holy Spirit. Because there's people out there who will say that this world is what it is. It's not broken. This is just how people are. This is just natural selection has led us to this point. I don't mean to speak against natural selection. I think it's makes perfect sense to me. But the claim that there's nothing wrong with the world goes against what the Holy Spirit teaches us in the church. But some people will see that there's something wrong, and will simply lament, and they won't believe that anything can be done. They won't believe that it could ever be any better. This goes against the Holy Spirit as well. The Spirit teaches us that it can be better. It once was better. Finally, the Holy Spirit teaches us who wins. Because a lot of people in the world will teach you that this sin and evil is unstoppable. It's unbeatable. Holy Spirit teaches us that love wins. Love wins over sin and death and evil. This is what the Holy Spirit is. It's that feeling in your heart when your heart breaks at the brokenness of the world. That's the Holy Spirit. When you see people out there making a difference in this broken world, and you're inspired to go and help, that's the Holy Spirit. And when you do the best you can, and you lay down at night assured that in the end, love will win over sin and death and hate and evil. That is the Holy Spirit. So, we may not actually talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. We mostly just give the Holy Spirit one day a year today. And we wear red, and some of us don't wear red, so we add red when we get here. But the Holy Spirit gives us Every day, God works in our hearts. That working on our hearts is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I may not have a whole lot of words to specifically describe what the Holy Spirit is. I have plenty of words, clearly. And even in our creed, we say very little about what the Holy Spirit is. We'll go on for line and line and line and line and line and line and line about Jesus. And in fact, in the original Nicene Creed, when they left the Council of Nicaea, the whole last part of the creed was just, "And we believe in the Holy Spirit." Full stop. Peace out. That's all they had. We know, for all the things we don't know about the Holy Spirit, we know the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, individually, in our hearts, convicting us about the brokenness in the world and convincing us that we can make a difference and assuring us that love will win in the end. And working in our lives collectively to help us join together and work, do the work of God. And I hope on Pentecost Sunday that that's enough to know about the Holy Spirit.